too soon to start preparing the Hall of Fame bust for Ridley Gregg?
No, but I think the captaincy question is legitimate.
Yeah, okay. All right. Do you, like, if you're DJ, do you ask Brady? Do you just go in and strip the C right off? Like, what do you do? What's the...
Yeah, I think you just surprise him. You still leave kind of the C where you've taken it off just to show that it used to be there.
Okay.
And then you have a presentation of just slipping it onto the kids' practice jersey.
Instead of the goggles.
Yeah.
I got a little something here for you, fellas, before the game. We're making a change. All right. Quite a debut for Ridley Gregg last night. Lots of people fired up. And the Sens got a win last night, overshadowing, in a positive way, the injury to Cam Talbot. So lots to talk about from the Sens. You heard the highlights from around the rest of the NHL, which everything appeared to be 3-2 in overtime. That was the score of the night last night, including, I was thinking, because that's Columbus guy with, I got two words for you, game over. He hasn't had a chance to utter that too many times this year.
No. So that's
feel
a really
good for
point.
Him.
Yeah, good yeah. point.
All
a little cannon action as well.
Let's get to the phone lines and welcome our TSN Hockey Insider this morning. That would be Mike Johnson, as always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How you doing this morning, MJ?
Good morning, guys. Although I must say, you're bringing up some bad memories because you joke about the captaincy. When I was in Arizona, I was an assistant captain, like a full-time assistant captain. And then we had the lockout, and Gretz took over. And all of a sudden, we showed up for, like, picture day. And guess who didn't have an A on their jersey?
Oh, no.
And I had no idea. I'm like, what's going on here?
Wow.
And all of a sudden, like, Gretz brought in Mike Ricci and Peter Nedved and Brett Hull and all these old guys. And Nedved got an A and Mike Ricci got an A. And I'm like, oh, I guess I don't get one anymore. I was choked. I was so upset. So, don't do that to Brady. That would be no fun at all.
Was there a conversation between you and the great one about that? Or did it just
No.
went away and that was it? Never to be spoken of.
It just went away. Now, in his defense, we missed the whole year for the lockout. And the year prior to the lockout, I only played the first, 11 games, and I missed the rest of the year with a Josh Norris-like shoulder surgery. So it's been a while since I played with the A on. Other guys had been wearing it in my absence, but I could, at least a conversation, hey, Mike, we're doing something different here. I'm like, oh, as opposed to just surprising me on picture day with it. Hey, surprise, it's not you. And then I'm like, but you gave it to Hulley, who was 75 pounds overweight, who retired a week in the season. You gave it to Nedved, who wanted to get traded back east to Philadelphia, and he lasted about 2 months. And he gave it to Mike Ricci, who's a beautiful guy. But I remember one time that Gretz asked me to we need you to play checking center or something like that. And I don't want to play checking center. That's not what I do. He's like, yeah, but you can skate and you're good defensively. I don't care. I don't want to do that. And he's like, well, we don't have anyone else to do it. I'm like, well, your assistant captain, Mike Ricci, can do it. That's what he's here for.
Wow. Nice.
No, I said that in my mind.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. Yeah. I was going to say. By the way, celebrating Wayne Gretzky's 62nd
birthday.
Happy today.
Birthday, Gretz.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Best guys and best player.
I did want to ask you because I his time, and I'd forgotten the fact that you actually played under him as a coach. And look, you guys didn't have a heck of a lot of talent, obviously, and the results sort of spoke for themselves. But what was, I think we all have the idea that for the most part, superstar players don't become great coaches because they think that everybody should be able to do what they did. What was it actually like to be a player under? What was Wayne Gretzky like as a coach?
Well, there was a little bit of that to him. Okay, first of all, I give Gretz so much credit because he knew that every camera would be on him, right? Like, he was the biggest star on our team, and everyone wanted to see what he was like. And he was so intense, emotional, passionate, verbal at us, at the refs, at the opponents, and I loved it. Like, I'm like, they're the guy. He wasn't trying to be, you know, the Ford commercial Gretzky, Joe Nice guy. He was like intense competitor trying to win, which I think we all appreciated because he didn't care what people thought or saw. Like, he was just into the game right away. And I think we liked that. But I always tell a story. There was this one practice where we did a throwaway drill where it was basically 3-on-1 back and forth until we scored 8 goals. So one line would go down, they shoot, try to score. The other line hops out, grabs the rebound, goes against it. And we're going to go until we get 8 goals. And our coaching staff sat on the bench, and it was Gretzky, Stockett, Fuhr, Coffee, and Barry Smith from Detroit. And we couldn't score 8 goals. It went for 20, literally went for 15 minutes. And Gretz at that point was just killing us, carving us on the bench, this is the worst display of offensive skill I've ever seen. I'm like, that was, I think, the moment he's like, this is not what my existence was like as a player. And then we kept thinking, like, he was just giving it to how bad we were while we were sitting beside him. Like, can you imagine what he must say about us when we're not around him? He must really lay into us. So I'm sure there were some moments of frustration for him as we were not quite as good as he was and his teams generally were.
And, MJ, as far as bitterness of the team pitcher, I'm making a strong assumption that as a person no longer having an A, you have gone from front row. Where were you placed in the pitcher?
You're so right. The front row designation.
Oh, my God.
That must be me in the back row. Oh,
I was back right. It was me or Sam Wilson, the one-time trainer. And we were side by side. Oh, man. I might as well be Photoshopped in there for the top row.
You know it's bad when you look back on a team picture and you can't remember the name of the team staffer that's standing beside you. That's when you know you're a little further down the food chain. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about, a lot of people are super excited about Ridley Gregg's debut. A lot of people were excited before the game because let's face it, the season is kind of spiraling here in a downward direction, and it's nice to have some fresh meat, as it were, to discuss, especially when a lot of people are feeling like he's got a promising future. And then he goes out and does what he did last night. First of all, what were your thoughts on his game from what you were able to see?
Well, spirited, energetic, involved, all the things you want. And I think, you know, what will be interesting to see for Ridley Gregg in the next whatever, however, month or two that he plays, or till the end of the year, 3 months till the season's over, is we know, I think it's a given, the things that he's going to be good at, right? Like, he's going to be energetic. He's going to be physical. He's going to be chippy. He's going to be defensive, you know, work to be defensively responsible, but, you know, play that kind of energy role. But I think the question is, you know, how much offense is in there? And the assumption might have been, well, you know, he's a perfect third line center guy, or maybe even lower than that with Pinto there, because, you know, the offense might not be there at the NHL level. And based on last night and based on what he's done in the minors, like, I don't know if that's a foregone conclusion. And I think that's the growth that would be exciting and interesting to watch. The stuff that he's good at, which would make him an NHL player next year full time, no matter what, like, he'll play and he'll be good. But can he play and be another good offensive player for Ottawa on an entry-level deal, which have great value? Like, and I know he's a centerman, so I don't know what you do when you have Pinto, Stützle, and Gregg. Like, I don't think anyone, any of those guys, be your fourth-line centerman because they don't play enough. It's a good problem to have. But I think that's the question mark. But you love the eight shots. You love the awareness to get the puck on his stick all the time. His willingness to attack the net and not be deferential to other, you know, high-end players that he played with. There was a lot in a 2-1 game to like about what he did with the puck and what that might mean moving forward.
Yeah, I watch him in junior, MJ, and I lock him in as a top six forward. And when you track,
but where?
Yeah, exactly. I wondered if you do cash him out, that when you look at the fraction of the cost. But, hey, still having to mature. But when you track, and again, we always want the highest upside comparison. But if you go back both in junior, and I don't think this player even did anything, the World Junior, or did he play? But Brad Marchand spent a full year in the American League, played 34 games his second year. I won't go quite that high. My point being, there's nothing that this guy's tracking. Norris is the same thing. As a 20-year-old in the American League, everything he's doing is tracking towards being a real nice top six player.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Brad Marchand is going to probably be a Hall of Famer when it's all done.
Yeah, no, I know.
So that would be. But your point is made. Like, not every guy steps in the NHL and looks like he's going to be a superstar. Not every guy, steps. And they remember Brad Marchand when he got to the NHL, he was not like a top six guy. He was like an energy guy and more of an irritant than a point producer. And you look at his, you know, Ridley Gregg's numbers in junior, like, he scored a ton. Like, he was an offensive player. Out in the WHL, where offense is not so easy to come by unless you're Connor Bedard. So, good problem to have, and I guess it gives them options. But, you know, the guys need quality ice. Like, so, I don't know how they shake it out. They are obviously locked into five of their top six. Alex DeBrincat is a question mark. I don't know what they do with him, but, and maybe he's a third line guy who could slide to the wing as well. Like, maybe Pinto and him to play in the third line together, righty lefty, take faceoffs on the opposite side, and then put, I guess, Matthew Joseph or somebody there as well. They have, I guess, this is what they're thinking about, and this is what the next 2 months are for, really, is to figure out who and what makes sense going forward, So we've stopped, if you heard me say this before, so that they're not here next year, you know, playing 2 months of kind of, oh, we can use this time to figure stuff out. We should be using this time to try to make the playoffs.
How much, and I think best it was best case scenario last night in terms of a debut, but, you know, the New York Islanders are reeling right now. They are, at best, a mid-pack team. Tomorrow night, it's a step up in opposition on the road. Toronto Maple Leafs with Austin Matthews and John Tavares as your 1-2 or 2-1 centers. How much of a good read are we going to get on Ridly Gregg if he ends up skating against those two tomorrow night?
Well, it'll be different, obviously, kind of challenge. But I would say, like, let's not make any sweeping generalizations based off one game or the next game. Like, let's take the 20 games you're going to play in their entirety. And, you know, even for the best players, there's some better than other nights out there. So look at the Canucks. They looked pretty good 2 nights ago. They looked awful last night. So, you know, you can have swings in performance based on who you're playing and the schedule and everything else. The emotion and the energy of your first game is something that you can never replicate. So now, you know, he's going to be excited. And he's an excitable player anyways. Like, I don't know if, you know, getting into the game will ever really be a problem for Ridly Gregg. And I love the fact that he's a bit of a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that he stirs it up and he's in there and he's you know, he's involved. Like, though, you need a few of those players on your team. But, yeah, I would not, you know, if he doesn't have a great game and 8 shots and against the Leafs, well, that's okay. Let's just take a look at the entire season. Hopefully he gets to play the rest of it and see where he ends up.
DJ Smith in his post-game comments when asked about Ridly Gregg, I thought he had all the right notes about he wasn't over the top in his praise, but just, you know, he was very complimentary about his first NHL game. And we didn't ask you on Tuesday, but Daryl Sutter's comments last weekend on Jacob Pelche's debut with the Flames. Now, he didn't quite dent the score sheet like Gregg did, but still a highly thought of player, et cetera, et cetera. And what were your thoughts, both as a person who played the game and who had an NHL debut at one point, and B, just on what that kind of says maybe about Daryl Sutter?
I thought it was terrible. You know, I don't want to make it more than it is, but it was totally unnecessary. Even if you didn't think much of his game, like, there's a million ways you could say that without deflating a young man who's achieving a dream, who has his family in the building, who's, you know, living out something that they have all worked together for 20-something years. And you're going to go rain all over it because what? You're upset that your team didn't win? Like, he didn't even play that much. So, like, you could easily just say, hey, excited for him, worked hard, lots of growth there, we can't wait to work with him. And leave it at that. But, like, you know, what number is he? I don't know. If you don't know his number, what does that say about you as a coach? Like, honestly, it was just petty and mean-spirited about a guy who'd been there for 2 seconds. If you're upset with your team, fuck your team. I feel like that kind of Oklahoma State coach. I'm 40. I'm a man. Come after me. Like, don't go after the kid. Go after Jonathan Huberdeau. Whatever. Go after somebody who's been there. Like, I thought that was just petty and small of him and no need for it whatsoever. And that would piss me off if I was a teammate or Jacob Pelche himself.
What do you think is going to happen on the island, MJ, both short and long term?
They got to get aggressive. Problem is, Simmer, when you look at their team, they return every single player except for Scott Mayfield and Zach Parise, Semyon Varlamov. Like, every skater is coming back. So whatever problems they have this year, which I think some of which are they're a little bit older, a little bit slower, a lot of the same kind of players, well, guess what? They're all going to be there again next year with the same sort of makeup. And this is what Lou Lamoriello has done. He's committed to this group that he believes in probably, you know, a year or 2 years too long and haven't found a way to interject new blood in the roster. Now, he has a new voice behind the bench, but that's not had the desired effect in allowing them to be, you know, a better, more dynamic team, despite having a whole bunch of good players on their roster. So what happens? I mean, I think they got to get creative, and Lou Lamoriello talked about it this week with his presser saying it's on him to make changes and to find ways to change the roster. Well, I guess it's on him then. And whether he's able to do that will be interesting to watch. But they need to change some things. They got to change the mix there, which is going to be hard to do with all the returning contracts.
Feels like even if they wanted to continue to kind of go for it this year, that Varlamov would be a pretty good chip to play in that.
Sure.
Sorokin, I mean, has been outstanding this year. He's your goalie of the future. You know, you could play him a pile down the stretch. And Varlamov, I would think, to a team, I don't know, L.A., somebody that needs some goaltending help that thinks they can make the playoffs, is that not potentially a chip you could play to help yourself And if you're not planning on re-signing the guy anyway, you're going to get something for him.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. Yeah, and L.A. is a perfect fit for him, right? L.A. has some of the best underlying numbers in the league, but they got the worst goaltending in the NHL. So getting them a goaltender with that same performance in front of them, and in the wide-open Pacific, the wide-open West, not only could they make the playoffs, they might win the division, given where they are in the standings, with better goaltending. For sure, he's the one guy. Like, and Scott Mayfield, I think they can trade him, actually, around the league. Now, they may not get the same return, but they're going to get a, you know, second and a fourth rounder or something like that for Scott Mayfield. Yes, you can trade everything you can, but can the question becomes, can you trade Kyle Palmieri or, you know, somebody like that, like somebody who's got a little more oomph on their contract? But Varley's a great one. Even, like, I know they got Grubauer in Seattle. Seattle never loses, it seems like, but, you know, their goalies haven't been great either. There's a need out there for a guy like Varley that I think you get a nice return for.
I think we all agree Lou is a godfather of hockey, and of all things, he's on Long Island. But when you also look at an MJ, a lot of years before he left New Jersey, I think there was some really good work done in Toronto. But overall, is it almost like people are nervous to approach him, or the Islanders are afraid what to do with him? Because, again, the results just not been there, and certainly the coaching change has not worked.
Well, I mean, give them credit. I mean, they made the semifinals 2 years in a row. That was just, you know, a couple of years ago. But yes, the coaching change did not have its desired effect. And I guess I would just say this. And like, you know, I know Louis's been very respectful. He's still an intimidating guy in hockey circles because he has such longevity and that presence about him. But I mean, I don't think he, like any other player or person involved in hockey, is beyond, right? So like, you know, he's a Hall of Fame and he's been around forever, but you can say, like, did he make good decisions in changing the coach? Did he make good decisions in signing these guys too long? Like, did he make a good decision, you know, in trading away Devon Taves for 2 second rounders because they wanted to sign, you know, Bill Komarov and Matt Martin to 4 year contracts? Like, those are not good decisions. And I think it's okay to have those conversations without being disrespectful to all that he's accomplished. And I think those conversations have to be had. Now, he said he's going to try to unpack this summer, so he wants the opportunity to try to, you know, make this team better. So we'll see what he comes up with, because they need to get better. They haven't scored a goal. Did I read this right? They haven't scored a goal in the third period in like 11 games.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
Something obscene like that. Like, that's crazy. And they've been losing those games, right? Like, they've been chasing them where you think offense might come because, you know, you're selling out trying to chase the game. So, yeah, they are in a tough spot right now.
And they're boring. I got to be quite honest with you. Other than Matt Barzal, they're a boring team.
But even Matt Barzal, like, that's how boring they are. They've taken Matt Barzal, who, even in Barry Trotz's system, found a way to be electric, made him pedestrian. Like, how do you pick Matt Barzal anything better, less than a highlight reel player? But somehow they found a way. They're no fun at all. They're a weird mix. Just a weird mix.
Absolutely. All right. On that note, we'll let you go. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the weekend. Look forward to chatting with you again next week.
All right. I'm going to go flip through my old team photos and have a cry on the 0506 version. Thanks.
Maybe
for
you can still see
that memory lane.
Maybe you can still see the shadow of the A that was there before it was ripped off.
A remnant of the stitching that once existed. The leader I once was.
See you, Mike.
TSN 1200 presents Bet and Breakfast, powered by FanDuel. Make every moment more on FanDuel, North America's number one sportsbook.
All right, Simmer, you nailed it last night, right? You said Sens. Said Sens by one.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go with the two goal or more.
I ended up having Ridley Gregg to score. That didn't end up happening. I had 8 shots on goal and an assist, so I was...
Well, you couldn't go with Ridley Gregg, remember, because
it wasn't posted,
went with Brady instead.
Yeah,
who didn't
score.
But, overall, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, big one tonight. Bruins Lightning in Tampa. Boston is currently a small road favorite, -114, so got to put up 1140 to win $10. You bet on the Bruins. You can bet on the Lightning at about even money. So this is a pretty close game.
Yeah.
According to FanDuel, total for tonight's game set at exactly 6. All right, and David Pastrnak, who's got, 35 goals this year, is +114 to score a goal. So 10 wins you a $10 bet makes you 1140 at FanDuel. So this is a, sorry Leaf fans, potential Atlantic Division Final preview.
Yeah.
Bruins Lightning in Tampa.
Yeah.
What do you like?
Well, I just look at a game like this, JR, and as good as the Bruins have played, you embrace this. And from a Tampa Bay perspective, You've gone to three finals, won a couple of cups. It's more like, okay, this is a real good one. So it's going to be close, but I am going to take Boston. I am going to take the over, and I'll take Pasta to score. And also tonight, people looking around for real matchups. You got, of course, Buffalo and Winnipeg, Washington versus Pittsburgh. But this one right here, oh, man, that's going to be a great hockey game tonight, Jer.
It would not have been that long ago where I would have quickly gone past Buffalo at Winnipeg You're right on that. But yeah. Boston, Tampa, pretty intriguing. So there you go. All right. So you like the Bruins and you like the over.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pasta to score.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I expect in these types of games that the big boys will come out for both teams. And like I said, I think if you're Boston and you're motoring along, and if you're Don Sweeney, you're kind of going through a checklist of, hey, who are we going to have to play to hopefully win a Stanley Cup, and how do we match up against Tampa Bay?
All right, there you go. Make every moment more on FanDuel, North America's number one sports book. Boston Bruins played 47 games this year. They have lost 9, either in regulation or in extra time. 2 of those 9 are against the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, incredible, eh?
Now, both those games were in Ottawa, right? They have yet to play in Boston, correct?
Sens have not
played in Boston.
I just remember the first one here was really kind of where things got rolling, was it not? After
that was opening night.
Yeah, exactly.
7-5.
So, yeah, and it just all of a sudden.
What's the name of our buddy down there? Mario. Mario from Kingston.
Oh, that's right. That's right, yeah. And he ended up having 3 wins after that. They were 4-2, and you're just thinking, man, oh, man.
Break up the Sens.
Yeah, the trains are rolling.
Yeah, and that was all done without Ridly Gregg.
Exactly. Imagine if he had been in the lineup since opening night, like we all talked about.
Wouldn't mind be on the outside looking in like they are right now. Welcome to We're Getting Ahead of Ourselves show here on TSN 1200. Okay, a couple of texts came in while MJ was on. Always thank Mike Johnson for stopping by. Let's see here. MJ is gold. He nailed the I'm 40, I'm a man impression. Yes, that was did Oklahoma State. Wayne Gandy, is that his name?
Is it?
I think. Okay. I think he's still there, actually.
The other, is it the Leach fella as well? Is he the one that passed away,
Mike Leach passed away, yes.
Okay, but he had some real famous sound bites, did he not, as well?
He was a very interesting guy. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let's see here.
MJ on the team pitcher, though, JR. And again, I was fortunate in the NHL in Washington to be in some team pitchers. And, you know, first of all, for me, where I was at was such a big deal. But man, for players, and to cruise in that day and like assistant captain, MJ, good looking fella. You're probably thinking, okay, well, pretty good chance here. I'm going to be sitting next to the G-man. You roll in and no longer an A. Hully has taken up 3 spots in the pitcher, and you're right in the back where you cruise through the top. I don't care how big of a fan you are, Jer.
Uh-huh.
I'll take any pitcher that's 15 to 20 years old, biggest fan. And you tell me, everybody in the back row of that pitcher. And it's a hard time for even the most passionate Yotes hockey fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody kind of looks there like, God, all the guys almost all have dark hair. They're all around the same height. I can't for the life of me figure out who that guy is next to the trainer. And that's the MJ-er.
Dan texts and says, Mike Ricci was a team-leading -22 on that 05 Coyotes team. Mike Johnson, a +7. Bravo, sir.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah, that's, you know, you understand for Gretz, it's kind of the buddy thing, right? And you're going to bring in Nedved and bring in, of all things, Hully. Did you see the report over the weekend? They just leave these little blips. You read so much stuff, JR, about what happened with Wayne Gretzky in St. Louis. Did you happen to read any of that with the contract?
No.
No, what was interesting is that I had always heard these rumors that Brett Hull was just almost like, he loved Wayne Gretzky. And then when Gretzky showed up, I kind of got the feeling like he's almost being smothered by him. They had reached a contract extension, and Gretzky had struggled in a playoff game, and Mike Keenan was all over him, and it was Dan Quinn, I think, at the time, or whatever the Quinn fellow was that ran the team, actually called Gretzky's agent and said, you know what, we're going to reduce the contract, or almost pull it off the table. And at that point, Gretzky just said, forget it, I'm out of here. I thought that was a really kind of interesting fork in the road, yeah. And, of course, the whole tie then as well. I think Janet is from St. Louis, is she not?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just a neat little tidbit of history I like to read through.
And my only memory of Wayne Gretzky in St. Louis was he was only there from, you know, the last half of the year into the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
They got beat in Game 7 in double overtime by Steve Yzerman. That's the very famous Steve Yzerman coming over the blue line and absolutely just lasering it in the top corner behind John Casey, I think it was.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wayne Gretzky was on. Yeah, I believe that's the same year.
Okay, because that's what's funny, because I always, you would swear that the Red Wings had won the cup on that play. And that is a really neat historical reference to that. The other thing you notice, and you notice this later in his L.A. days, then to St. Louis and to the Rangers, like with how little equipment he wore, just what a shell he was physically of himself, right? Not that he was a monster, but, you know, at that point there, it was all jersey, and I don't know what else was underneath there, but, yeah, pretty little cool tidbit in history.
This text just came in. I would rather see Jacob Pelche and have no expectations and loads of sympathy than Ridly Gregg, savior of the team who's already beefing with Kachuk and demanding the C.
Yeah, you know, you got a
good
point.
I'm not sure
there.
If that's written in the sarcasm font.
No, but it's good, but it is a good point, though. I mean, you know, sometimes these players come in and try to take over. And I don't know, you know, for Ridly Gregg, though, like if he's doing a coup d'etat today, like he does
on an off day,
he would. Oh, that's true. Where that's a good day to do it, Chair.
Yeah.
You go in and switch everything around. You put the C on your jersey. But he's not a big talker, so I assume he's more a violence guy, right? Like he'd be the type that would come in and kind of, you know, be chopping heads off, right? He's not coming in with a big speech or anything. He doesn't need to do that. He needs to, you know, he go mafia style here.
Okay. Right? All right. Sure. I'm up. I'm here for it all day.
He'll get her done.
He's a get her done guy.
Even in the storm, he's probably the type. I bet you after the game yesterday, he was out there digging out everyone else's cars. Hey,
right.
He probably just in his jammies there from after the game. Just probably got out. Say, hey, Ridly, go out there and do the. He probably did the whole parking lot by himself. That's the kind of buzzsaw he is.
Got the snowblower out there with DJ's parking spot.
And even
does
when
look
the,
good, DJ?
No, but he wouldn't even say that. Even when the guys like roll by, they roll down the window and say thank you. He'd just give you kind of that nod like a cowboy gives you. He wouldn't even say that. Maybe a spittoon on the side of your car.
right out of Yellowstone.
Oh, just a nice little spittoon.
Big Rick writes, I got to admit, fellas, I hated Mike Johnson when he was with the Leafs. And it's pretty hard to shed the Leaf hatred. Yeah. But getting him on the air for us, I've begun to look forward to hearing him talk hockey. Between him and Pooley, I'm not sure there are two better guys to listen to. That's from Big Rick.
Yeah, well.
We'd like to think same. Big Rick, thank you.
Other than JR and Simmer, I think is what you're saying. But hey, that's fine. And as far as MJ, I would say as a good-looking, well-educated Toronto money guy, yeah, he kind of, there's lots of things there that he could be kind of your typical Leaf that would, you know, again, that you look and he'd probably playing tennis
in all seriousness, especially in Toronto, for a guy who played for the team. He's from Toronto, so he would have lots of connections within the city. If he wanted to, he could probably just kind of do the old alumni, show up and do events, collect some checks. You know, you could probably do very well just doing that if you so chose.
Yeah. So like Nick Kypreos, you mean?
Well, no, Nick's on it.
I'm teasing. I love Nick,
Matt writes, the Greg Pinto Bedard line is going to be fire.
Oh, my God. That's a good point by you. Hey, we better not make too much of Ridly Gregg. He might be yesterday's
true.
News.
You know what?
By the time the you know,
to that. You with failing hands, we hand the C. Be yours to hold it high. From Kachuk to Ridly Gregg to Connor Bedard. He's coming in as the 18-year-old captain of the Sens.
What do we got? We got the two of them. I'm not feeling the Pinto thing. We need another player from the Western Hockey League. Are we maybe throwing Ostapchuk in there? Maybe an opportunity. He'd do a little bit of the greasy work. And you got, are we putting Bedard? Also a big decision here, Jay. We're starting to get too many centers. Bedard,
he can play the wing, though.
Who, Bedard?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, that's where you tell him, listen, man, you know you're a good player, but we're loaded. how are you? Have you met our friend, Mr. Pinto? How about sliding over to the third line here? Give you a nice little start to your career. We're going to ease you in.
You could put him in Belleville for a couple of years of seasoning, right, too. You don't have to immediately.
That's true.
Bring Connor Bedard up into the NHL.
Is he eligible, though, JR? Or Hammer?
Not for a couple of years.
Well, he would have. He's played, 10 years in the Western League? So he might have. Kenny said it's four. You have to do 4 years.
What would be, if you're to ask Connor Bedard, what is your preference for next hockey season?
Yeah.
Another year in Regina or a year in Belleville? Yeah. Your choice.
Whoa. Well, it's Belleville all day long.
Is it? Have you been to Regina?
Wow. No.
Have you ever? No, you have been west of
I have.
Yeah.
I've been
Chicago.
To Vancouver.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yes.
You flew over Regina.
Yes.
So but you're not speaking from any experience other than having flown over Regina.
Everybody knows Regina. There's not much happening there. Belle Vegas is, come on. We've got an Applebee's. Reed's Dairy for crying out loud. Looney and Toonie Shakes.
What about your cheesies?
Slap Shots. Hawkins Cheesies.
Yeah, the Hawkins
Cheesies.
Best
chicken wings in the country.
Yeah.
That would be, if you really wanted to talk to the fella there, it would be an interesting decision and opportunity. Listen, like to see you. I'm not sure about your World Junior performance this year. What I'd like you to do is go back to Sweden next year, see what you can do at the junior level. Hey, I just want you to make sure you're ready for the NHL before we don't have four things. And
overseasoned.
Again, I don't know if you looked at the depth chart here. We got Sparker Kelly. Anyways, so yeah, we'll move on. That would be a fun line,
actually. Deep depth on the wings.
Yeah, maybe we can put, we need to see some shifts with Ridly Gregg and Sparker Kelly, though. A little Western Hockey League action. That would be fun.
Who's the third guy on that line?
Yeah, I'm trying to
The existing guys on the team.
Yeah, I don't know anybody else that's been in the Western Hockey League that I'm kind of drawn. Ostapchuk, when his junior season ends, could give him a little.
So you're
going
to slide Watson on that line for now, then?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, good debut for Ridly Gregg. Step up in competition tomorrow on the road in Toronto. Back home to face Montreal. Saw some people, I think, being very sarcastic last night, wondering how long it's going to take for the Sens to send him back. Talking about to Ridly Gregg back to Belleville. And listen, I think there is still a possibility of that happening. If and when the Sens return to some degree of health, that they're going to, decide that as good as, because let's be honest, that was a great debut last night. That is probably not what we're going to get every single night from Ridly Gregg for a bunch of different reasons. Yeah. First of all, being 20. Yeah. Secondly, still, he's 100 and what is he? .170, maybe? Yeah. Maybe. There's still a long hill to climb here, but that was a really great debut and a good taste of maybe what's to come. But, I still think it's a possibility he could end up back in Belleville.
I think it's a possibility, JR, but I'd be a little surprised. And again, I look at certain situations and the Sens have done a real good job of not forcing it. My only hesitation on this fella is strength, and that's not going to make a difference on any particular night. And will he slow down a tad? It's a possibility. But again, one of the things here, and I do think a bit of the mistake of the NHL, and not just Ottawa, other places though, but we heard a lot about being careful with Stutzla, and you got to be careful with this guy and that guy, and I don't disagree. And when it comes to the physical component, but one thing has changed about this modern-day athlete, JR, they don't come in and all of a sudden, like, I'm going to stay in the corner here. How many young centers players have we seen just mow by the veteran players? Ridly Gregg can play the rest of the year in the NHL. My only hesitation is whether he's strong enough. But when it comes to the edge and Revan, and I'll guarantee this, we'll come back on Monday morning. I bet he has a huge impact on those two games on the weekend. So with Norris being completely done, I would go towards more. I'd be a little surprised if he's back in the American League. That's just my thought. But as I said, if three games from now we've seen JBD, how many times does he come up and have a great first game and then he just falls off?
Right.
I just don't sense that with this fella. I remember AJ, I didn't watch much of it, but how much he raved about those American League games a couple of years ago.
Yeah, when they played in Ottawa?
Yeah, and again.
Well, that was the thing, right? Troy Mann was very adamant, and speaking of people who have it in, like, been coaching down there forever in the American Hockey League, he has a really good kind of an idea of who is capable of playing at that level, of playing at the American. And I remember, to AJ's point, but to the way he talked, he's ready to play in the American Hockey League right now.
Yeah.
And that was 2 years ago as an 18-year-old. Yeah. And you're thinking, wow, I mean, that's saying something.
Yeah, it really was. Like, he had and that's why I look again, what he brings to the table at the end of the day. I don't see that changing, Jared. And he put up nice numbers, and it is fun. And I'm not saying he's going to end up bringing Brad Marchand, but I always use that rule of thumb historically, and you go any year. When guys come in as 20-year-olds and the other part not having a huge supporting cast, if you can track, and this was Norris, if you can track in and around a pointing game player, JR, and play the way he does, you're almost a sure bet to be a very good NHL player. Like, it just doesn't happen very often.
Dave lives in north of Saskatchewan, is listening right now online and agrees with you, Hammer, that Regina sucks. That's all he says. Okay. So, and he lives
there. Thank you.
So
see?
He actually just hasn't flown over it.
Has he been
there
to Bell Vegas?
Well, I tell you what, the TD Place Outsider Dave texts in and says the Applebee's is long gone from Belleville.
Now what is it?
But they have a Mr. Puffs.
Is Mr. Puffs?
Hammer doesn't even know his home territory. That's exactly how disconnected
it
he is now.
It used to be a Ponderosa.
Mr. Big Time Ottawa.
The last surviving Ponderosa in Canada. Then it was bought, and I thought Applebee's, man, I'm surprised that chain didn't live long and prosper in Belleville.
I need more information on what Mr. Puffs is all about. Yeah. Is that has to be
Is that some Hawkins cheesy competition?
No, I'm thinking Mr. Puffs is all about the combustibles.
That's a good point. Or the
left-handers.
What is the other one? What are those bong things that they have all the shops opening up, right? The Middle Eastern one, where you go in and smoke the water there? Right? The flavored
just
tobacco?
Just like a cafe.
Kabuka or Tabuka or whatever. You know, and
careful.
What?
Careful.
No, why not? No, I'm just saying that's what it is. Hoochka or something like that. One of the keys, though, guys, and it's not being disrespectful of Elville, one of the keys is you want the city where the players play in to be a little bit on the nasty side, because you want them to be motivated to get out of there.
To leave. Well, that's not a problem. That's why the Sens farm team is in Belleville. Nobody wants to stay there.
One of the things they did, and I'm not even joking, when you're surveying, they said, listen, what's the equivalent of Binghamton in Canada?
What are you saying?
I'm just saying. Well,
I got the place for you.
Okay, Mr. Puffs is not a combustibles, all right? It is actually puff pastries.
Oh.
Yes.
Pastries?
Pastries.
In Belleville?
I don't like
the future of that thing.
There's a Mr. Puffs at Lansdowne.
That sounds a little too hoity-toity for Belleville.
It does a little bit, so it probably won't last.
People there like their meat.
We're blue collar.
Exactly.
All right, in Belle Vegas. Hard working.
Yeah. You're going in for a Tim's. You're grabbing your donuts from Tim's. You don't need to go to Mr. Pop.
Absolutely.
Right? Double. Okay. Jensen, how nice was it to see Greg shooting the puck when he had the chance? Maybe some of the rest of the roster can follow suit with a shoot-first mentality. That comes from Unsigned. Absolutely. 8 shots on goal. Tied an NHL record. In a rookie debut, in a first-game debut, Ridly Greig did last night.
To be honest, that was last night with the Sens. The Senators just seemed to be doing whatever they could to get pucks on net. And
that seems to be fairly easy, though, doesn't it? I know they don't do it, and that's what drives people crazy.
That's it.
But they're always trying to make the fancy plays. Put the puck on the net.
That's all you've got to do. And Jake Sanderson did it. That led to Pinto's goal. Obviously Ridly Greig's shot that led to Giroux. Just put the puck in the net. Let's see what happens.
Well, they had 38 of them last night, did the Sens, and 2 of them got past old Varley, who I've already now traded to. Well, I said L.A., and then MJ says, what about Seattle? So anyway, but they got the win, 2-1, and they're back off today and then back at it tomorrow night in Toronto and then back home Saturday, taking on Montreal. So the regional rivalries will be in place for the next couple of nights for the Sens. All right, we'll take a break, come back, welcome your thoughts, as always, on anything Ridly Greig related, anything Sens related, anything hockey related, anything MJ related, anything related. Text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Next hour, we'll have those 67s Gatineau Olympique tickets to give away. Big game coming up 2 weeks from tonight. TSN 1200 shoot to win night at the game. We'll look forward to it. Your chance to be there comes up next hour as we roll on here. Top of the hour update is next on Sports Radio TSN 1200.